It's not my fault. I was here.
Game time.
We're good.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday morning, November 7th, Election Day. Those of you who have not yet voted in your municipal elections, please do so. 2017, with our clock, which has not been set back, notwithstanding, it is, in fact, 10 a.m., and we'll start as we always start by honoring America with a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so before we get into our agenda, we've got a couple cleanup items that we need to deal with. So the first thing we need to do is we've got three personnel action forms that we're going to deal with at different places than our action form item today. We've got Timothy Meredith's, which is currently part of consent. We've got Tim Mills, which is currently part of consent, but I'm going to pull it so we can talk about it. And we've got Tyler Sparks, which is part of our additional items. You just need to know that we've got those three action forms that won't be part of our action items. Additionally, we need to add an effective date on Timothy Mills of 11/12/17. So those changes to our agenda
and his biweekly,
and the fact that it's biweekly, his biweekly pay, which we'll talk about that when we get to where we are. So those are the changes on today's agenda. Now we need to move back and take care of an item that occurred last week, and that is there was an erroneous award of a bid last week. Sadly, in violation of Iowa open meeting laws. So we're going to talk about how we're going to address that. And Laura, I saw you raise your hand over there. If you want to just set the groundwork on this, you can, and then we'll talk through where we are and where we're going.
Sure. Last week we opened bids on the Roland and Kellage new facilities. And then our engineer and our superintendent, Rhodes, went out to look over the bids. And they came back near the end of the meeting. And so in asking for the report, I got ahead of the process. And I made a motion that we approve and award the bid. And that was inappropriate, that we didn't have that listed on the agenda. That's not the normal process. And so I apologize for that and the kind of angst it caused, you know, any. And so we need to back up. And so I'm going to get a lesson today.
Okay. Yeah, so here's where we are. Fortunately, it was caught after the action happened. It was caught almost immediately. We have an outstanding county attorney and county attorney staff that helped us unwind this thing. We're fortunate Jessica's here, but Jessica, and if you want to speak, you should speak. I'll just state the way I think we're going to have this. So by law, that action is null and void. It didn't happen, right? So there has been no bid award. We'll come back next week and put consideration of awarding the bid ahead of consideration of awarding a contract, and we can do both one at a time if they happen in that order. And there should be no other ramifications since this was caught.
Correct. So just the erroneous action, it just invalidates the award of the bid. So publicly, Jensen has not been awarded the contract, even though that's what he said last week. And we'll make sure we get the action item on our next agenda, and then we can award the bid at that time. So it just invalidates the action.
Does this slow up any of the construction side of things?
The question was to County Engineer Darren Moon, who indicates it doesn't slow us down. So we're really fortunate that we caught this before it went any further. Now here's my narrative. Over the last 10 months, Loris, we've seen multiple occasions where, whether it's because you were getting ahead of yourself or whatever, but we've seen you really approach the line on open meetings, mm-hmm. and we've had somebody, somehow, we've always stopped it before we cross the line. This time we crossed the line and we've got to undo it. It sounds to me like there's no major ramifications, but we've got to stop doing this. We got to make sure.
And I did offer to the county attorney to turn myself in to the Iowa Public Information Board and to pay the fine. And she said that was not necessary, that because it invalidated the action, it was invalid, we hadn't moved any further. So, yes, I understand exactly how it happened. They came back in, and I didn't go back to look at my agenda to see what we'd actually put on the agenda. So, okay.
Yep. Super. Anything else, Jessica, that we need to deal with?
So just one additional thing that's separate from meetings is just the process of actually checking those bid bonds and that kind of thing would lead me to at least advise that we consider not awarding on the same day. And that's just my advice, and you can disregard it. I just wanted to say that, too.
Super.
Right.
Thank you. We wouldn't have done had I not made that motion.
Well, I'm not blaming anyone. I just didn't advise you.
I did. I will take responsibility for it. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jessica, thank you. Have a great day.
Okay.
All right, now we're to public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so can come right on up. And seeing no one with a desire to do so, now we're to consideration of proclamation declaring November 16th as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in Story County. And we've got Melinda Thatch with us. Melinda, come on up. Would you prefer if I read the resolution, or would you like to?
That would be awesome if you would read it.
I'll be glad to.
I have this voice.
I come from a long line of broadcasters. So, proclamation to declare November 16th as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in Story County, Iowa. Declaring November 16th as World Pancreatic Day in Story County, Iowa. Whereas, in 2017, an estimated 53,670 people will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in the United States, and 43,090 of those will die from the disease. Whereas pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest cancers, is currently the third leading cause of cancer death in the United States, and it is projected to become the second leading cause around 2020. Whereas pancreatic cancer is the only major cancer with a five-year relative survival rate in the single digits at just 9%. Whereas when symptoms of pancreatic cancer present themselves, it is generally in later stages, and 71% of pancreatic cancer patients die within the first year of their diagnosis, while 91% of pancreatic cancer patients die within the first 5 years. Whereas approximately 440 deaths will occur in Iowa in 2017. Whereas pancreatic cancer is the seventh most common cause of cancer-related deaths across the world. Whereas the good health and well-being of the residents of Ames and Story County are enhanced as a direct result of increased awareness about the symptoms and risk factors of pancreatic cancer and research into early detection, causes, and effective treatments, therefore be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors designates November 16th as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in Story County, Iowa, dated the 7th day of November 2017. Board, anything to add before we hear from Melinda?
My mother died from pancreatic cancer, so it's kind of home. So it is not a disease I would wish on anybody.
No,
that's it. Melinda, what do you got?
Melinda, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me raise awareness about pancreatic cancer. I, too, lost my mother from pancreatic cancer. Five years ago, at this time of November, I had no idea what it was, and by the end of the month, she was dying. She was diagnosed the Monday the week of Thanksgiving, and they said 50-50 chance of living until Christmas, and 13 days later, she died. So hers was pretty fast. She had a lot of the symptoms, though, are vague. So if you have diabetes and it suddenly spikes, if you have digestive troubles, whether it's nausea or change in bowels, pain in the abdominal area, either in the front or in the back, these things can be attributed to a lot of different things. But when they're all together, they can be a sign of pancreatic cancer.
No, that's my family story, too, because we had 23 days from the day the doctor said, sit down, I got bad news, so she went down to run a funeral. Because she was tough Irish, and she thought that she could weather the storm, and it turned into not that story. So I'm sorry for yours, too.
I volunteer with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, which is an organization started by a woman who lost her mother. It started in 1999, so it is relatively a new organization. It provides information, provides help in understanding what to do next, because a lot of times people do need to work quickly, even though you go on and on with these vague symptoms, and then suddenly you're given a diagnosis and need to do something. It's difficult, and this organization helps people with that. It raises money for research. This currently is an open research period for people to apply for research grants that can find an early detection. This is the only major cancer that does not have an early detection method, which is another thing that delays people being able to have it diagnosed and be able to do something about it. Chemotherapy is available, radiation is available, surgery is available, but you still have to have time to do those things. This organization is interested in doubling the survival rate by 2020, and the only way to do that is to raise awareness. So I really thank you for this opportunity to help raise awareness here in Story.
Well, we thank you for bringing it to us, and we thank you for the volunteer work that you're putting in to raise awareness. Thank you so much. Marty, I think it would be completely appropriate if you made the motion.
I would move on this day that we proclaim November 16th as World Pancreatic Cancer Day here in Story County.
I second.
Yeah, and thank you again, Linda. Chee.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We are all three going to sign this one, and then we're going to do a photo op right here. And try to get the word out as much as possible.
Mr. Rogers, thank
you. All right, next item is consideration of minutes from 10:31. One item that we need to have an extra note on, Shelley, is the second receive and open bids for secondary roads building improvements. We need to note after the roll call vote that then it was deemed that this action was null and void since it was a violation of open meetings laws, and that I don't think you need to note it in the minutes, but then that it's null and void, and then we'll come back and deal with it next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we won't take action on these minutes. We'll get those corrected. We'll take action on minutes next week. Okay? Everybody good with that?
Yes, sir.
Next item is personnel actions, and I'll just remind you as we take effect here, we're going to take effect on the personnel action items listed, but then there's three additional action items that are listed later in our agenda.
So we're going to roll those up into...
Yeah, we're going to roll Tiffany Meredith down into consent unless it gets pulled. We're going to roll 10 meals down into... It's consent right now, but it's going to get pulled so that we can note the additions we made. And then Tyler Sparks, his action item is based on an action that the board will consider later in the meeting. So we can't, as I see it anyway, we can't take action on them before we deal with the item that's demanding our action. So as listed is what I'm asking you for.
Move personnel actions as listed.
I will second.
Further discussion? Chee?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda. So we are going to, or I would like us to pull the Tim Beals. What number is that, Shelley?
Item number one. Item number 11.
Okay.
Tim is 11.
Okay. Item 11 under consent, consideration of resolution 1856, appointment of first assistant Story County attorney. We'll pull that one to discuss. Is there anything else we need to pull from consent? All right, if not, I'd take a motion to that effect.
I would move that we approve consent agenda as listed with the exception of items 1 and 11.
1 and 11, okay.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. So we'll deal with item number 1 first. It is a resolution appointing Tiffany Meredith as lead criminal prosecuting Story County attorney. There is no change to compensation, but there is a change in designation for Tiffany. Discussion?
None. I take Justin Reynolds with Noah Calderon for Sports Fest, and I accept it on its face.
All right. I have no problem and no discussion.
So you make the motion?
I would make the motion that we approve Tiffany Meredith as the lead prosecuting criminal prosecuting attorney for Story County.
I would second that.
Super. Motion and a second. Further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Tiffany Meredith passed. Sorry. So Tim Meals is item number 11 and is consideration of resolution 1856, which appoints Tim first assistant county attorney. There is, in fact, a change in wage there. And we need to note that, don't we? It would be effective 11-12-17, and his biweekly wage would be $4,431.86. Discussion or a motion?
I am not. Tim's been a long-time employee. Of course, Tiffany had been, too, but congratulations, Tim.
Mm-hmm. I think that. I have nothing else to add to that, and I believe that's all appropriate. I would make the motion to approve Resolution 1856. Appointing Tim Mules as our first assistant county attorney effective 11-12-17 with a biannual or biweekly salary of $4,431.86.
And we'll second with that biweekly salary.
Super. Motion and second. I'm in complete agreement. Tim and Tiffany both have done a phenomenal job in the county attorney's office. I do want to underscore how fortunate Story County is to have a county attorney with the capabilities of Jessica Reynolds, and the way that she appears to be running her office. We're all really, really lucky here in Story County. With that, Cheney.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. That takes care of all consent items. Leads us to public hearing items, which is consideration of Resolution 1852, budget amendment, and
good morning.
One and only.
Good morning, I'm Lisa Markley.
Good morning. Okay, so I gave you the documentation for this budget amendment a couple weeks ago when I said I was going to send it for publication. We can talk about it a little bit. Just so you know, I did publish. It was published on 10/26 in all three newspapers as required by law. So today's public hearing is public. The revenues overall are up 3.5%. The expenditures are up 10.7%. A little statement there on the expenses. secondary roads spending down of or spending construction dollars, and the
Tedesco.
TLC. Phase one and two is the other large expense.
And so let's just underscore that for just a minute, Lisa, because I think it's an important point, and I appreciate you bringing it up. So the primary increases that we're seeing are in secondary roads, which were dollars that were budgeted in our last fiscal year but not expended in our last fiscal year. We're carrying them over, and they're actually getting expended this year. A majority of them. And then the Tedesco Research Park has everything to do with the bonding that we're doing and the project that's going on there.
Correct. We have bond proceeds coming in for that. We also did not spend all of the original bond proceeds down, so we're amending those in to spend more of those also. Because they've got an ending fund balance. Mm-hmm. There are some other minor adjustments that we're making.
well, not minor necessarily, but some other things that you guys have decided on at the beginning of the fiscal year to go ahead and take care of, which is the generator at HSB. We're increasing the countywide by $277,500 for that project. And land acquisition up here in the I-35 corridor was $155,000, so we're amending in for that also. So those are from ending fund balances also.
Well, so the fortunate thing about the way this board and previous boards have run the finances recently is we're in a position where we can make decisions to put in a new generator over at HSC and do some of the things that need to be done, including paving a couple roads and doing some things like that, and still have what I would deem, at least I'd have you comment on this, whether a really, really healthy ending fund balance, not anywhere that we need to be concerned about that we're getting too low in our ending fund balances.
Right. The new dollar, this amendment actually, it does use some general fund dollars. I use secondary roads dollars. But we end after this amendment with a 34% ending fund balance in the general and supplemental, which is about 10%, 9% higher than we absolutely don't want to go below. And then we're going to be in the secondary roads fund at about 17% after we spend these dollars, which when we put that budget together, usually we want to come in the 18 to 20% range.
Sure.
So we're, staying on course is how I want to say it, I guess.
Well, and I just want to note that 8 or 10 years ago, while we deem that we don't want our general fund ending fund balance to be below 25, we were running more in the 19 to 21% 8 or 10 years ago, and have really made a change to where we do have healthy ending fund balances. Anything else? Any questions for Lisa on resolution 1852 before we open the public hearing?
No, just basically straightforward. We have some big projects moving fiscal to fiscal, and that is the story.
That's the story. Laura, anything?
No, I'm very comfortable with what we're doing.
Yep, outstanding. So at this time, I'll open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address resolution 1852. It's all part of the process, Paula. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. I'll turn to the board for action.
I would move resolution 1852 as presented.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Cheese.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Resolution 1852 passes. Now we're through additional items, and Lisa actually wants access to some of these dollars.
Right.
How about that? Appropriations amendment.
You can amend the budget as many times as you want, but we have to appropriate those dollars in order for the department to spend them. So the request is that we appropriate the following dollars into the departments that they are being amended into. The attorney got $6,000, general county betterment got $5,700, engineer $3.337. Community services $11,000, facilities management $5,000, mental health $600, and countywide $1.275,260.
Questions for Lisa?
All right, covered, Linda, and I'm comfortable with her answers.
Perfect. I take a motion.
I would move consideration of resolution 1853 as presented.
And I second.
And we got a motion and a second. Further discussion? Chief?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye.
Fair warning, I'm coming back to the board next week again. You have to see my agreement again next week.
We will.
Appropriations amendment again for the rest of, it's November. We need to appropriate some additional dollars in all the departments.
And so let's just be clear on what happened. So generally, the board has chosen to appropriate 50% of the dollars for most of our areas at the beginning of the year, and then we come back at about this point and we'll appropriate not always the full 50% for the remainder of the year, but some of it, and that's what Lisa's going to come back and talk to us about next week. Okay?
Any direction on that, or you want me to bring it to you and we can discuss it?
I think bring it to us with flexibility. For me personally, I like what we've been doing. I think it's been working for us, but this board needs to have that conversation. This is our first chance as a group to have that conversation. Okay. Super. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Next item is discussion and consideration of the Ordinance Development and Review Guidelines Manual following the 7-day review. Leanne Harden.
Allocations first.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I checked it off my list. Discussion and consideration of FY2. Yes, I want to do the allocations first. Discussion and consideration of FY 2018 allocations as recommended by the Story County Economic Development Group.
So last week, the board acted on the project fund request, formerly known as pool funds, to the communities. This week is the annual allocations. As you can see, all the communities will receive money except for Colo, Kelly, McCallsburg, and Shelval. Wait, I need to take this off. At Colo, Kelly, Shelval, and McCallsburg. They did not meet the eligibility requirements.
And that is attendance at the meetings.
Meetings and primarily attendance of meetings for the annual allocations.
Okay, and so in my time here, and as far as I know of forever, Sheldahl has never participated. There have been years that McCallsburg and Colo have both participated, but there's also been years that other cities on here have not participated.
Yeah, and really, when you look at Colo, for example, as Amy mentioned, who's the city clerk over there, wintertime, sometimes she's in the back of the plow. And just has to choose between pushing snow and Colo or coming to the meeting. And there are some limitations that I think the Economic Development Group will be discussing. They did, this was part of the discussion a couple weeks ago, too, and what the future will be with the project funds as well as the annual allocations. They're running on a fiscal year basis now, which is nice. It has been kind of calendar year. We're formalizing it with forms. We know exactly to whom the funds are dispersed and making it a little bit more clear and straightforward to help Lisa out. And not waiting until again towards the end of the fiscal year. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions for Leanne? Yeah, come on up.
Can I have a question?
Lisa Margley is to come ask the question.
What is the, as I just said, it's usually late June before I get these. So what is the expectations on dollar distributions? Was that discussed at all as far as when they think the dollars are going to be coming to them?
No.
Okay.
That was not discussed.
Okay. Here's my take on it. The additional tax dollars, our second half tax dollars come in March, so I would like to go ahead and process these to pay in March.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if there was any discussion saying, oh, we'll get our money tomorrow or whatever, but I wanted to make sure that we were clear on when I planned on processing these for payment.
Yeah, so, and we underscore, we mentioned this a minute ago, there's not been a time since I've been here that we've paid this prior to, well, May has probably been the earliest that it's ever been requested and paid, and there have been years, well, there was 1 year for sure, where it didn't get turned in time and we had to carry it over to the next fiscal year. So I view this is a springtime, hopefully earlier in the spring rather than later in the spring, springtime kind of payment. We do need to communicate that back if, in fact, that's our intent with these dollars and just keep it as a springtime.
Okay. That's what I wanted to clarify, no, that everybody's fine.
Nobody's been saying I need the money right now. That's not been part of it. It was just more the appropriating and discussion on how to gate it.
And getting the information to us and in front of us before, right.
Well, that's one of the conversations you said there. You know, the respective communities, it's just like sooner is better than later.
Right.
Because we had that issue last year was later, I believe it was. It fell out of the fiscal and then into the next one. They work on their own behalf, so if they do it sooner, and it helps us do what we would like to do on their behalf.
Too. Right.
There was discussion that came up at the last Surrey County Economic Development Group, and I checked in with the chair, Jennifer Davies, afterwards, because I had to leave to go to another appointment before, and it was about changing how the money is apportioned for allocation. And she said there would be more discussion on it. I heard a couple of interesting comments. from one mayor, the comment was they just like to see the money just divided out, including the, about the $15,000 that we now are doing with these little projects. Project funds, and then the other end was, and then the comment by the mayor was, well, you know, then I have to scramble to find something to do with the money. And I was like, well, okay, that's one perspective, though. And then the other end of the perspective that was from a different mayor who said, but the nice thing about these is we really get to talk about them and consider them and, you know, what they're doing. So I look forward to the continued conversations on this. It made me think about this $100,000 in a different way. You know, one of my questions then in my mind, as I was driving over to Ames for my next appointment, was, well, what if we did we just give them this per population plus base allocation, basically, and we don't really ask them what we do with it. You know, we just say, hey, this is for your economic development.
That will be changing.
Okay,
the bylaws that were amended in October 2016 addressed that, and that was, I think you'd already left. Those were the forms that I developed and handed out prior to, I think, April each year or May. The chair and I have to collect those forms, and that will explain that the question is for what purpose were the funds used.
Of these
allocations, both the allocations and a kind of a reporting on the project funds too. How did the project go? And then the chair will compile that with my assistance, and that will come to the board supervisors.
Okay. Just that makes me feel good that we're having a good discussion about it, not saying that it shouldn't sit the way it is or whatever, but it was clear even among the groups that there were differing ideas about the allocations.
So it's going from, and Morris, I think it's a great point, it's going from what was a more informal gathering to more of a formal group. And let's just spend, you know, 30 seconds on the history. So when this group was formed in the early 90s, for a long, long, long time, the allocation was somewhere between $50,000 and $55,000 a year. The total allocation was somewhere between $50,000 and $55,000. And starting in about 2010, we increased it to $75,000 and then came back, I believe, 2 years later. I think it's 2012, and increased it to $100,000. And it has sat there at $100,000 since 2012. Now, there was a request made 18 months or so ago, Leanne, to increase that from $100,000 to $125,000. And the board, the then sitting board, said, well, no, we're not going to do that until you formalize your structure a little more and put some of these processes in place. So I would expect as this group moves through getting more formalized, there is a very soft expectation that there's also potentially some additional dollars that will tag along as they get it done. That's a conversation that we're going to have in budget time and as they move through, but I just wanted you guys to have a sense of kind of where that was and how it's come. Lisa, anything to add to that?
And these dollars come from our 40% local option sales tax dollars. So.
Yeah, and I do remember when the 125 figure coming up when there were some benchmarks to move toward more.
And I feel like we're partway through moving through those benchmarks that a previous board set. This board is going to have to talk about what that means. Okay? So, Leah, anything else? Okay, so we're looking for action on the Story County Economic Development Group allocations.
I would move that we approve these as presented and recommended by the Economic Development Group.
Thanks. We have a motion and a second. I want clarification before we get to second. With spring of 2018 payments.
With spring of 2018 payments.
You willing to second all of that?
I would second that amendment.
All right. So we got a motion and a second to approve as presented, noting that the checks will go out sometime in the spring. Any other conversation?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. The pass. Leanne, can you please communicate with the group so that there's no confusion of when these they can expect to see the dollars. Now we'll move on to discussion and consideration of the Ordinance Development and Review Guidelines Manual following the 7-day review.
I was here last week with this draft manual, and I just a couple of comments did come in.
So what was on today's agenda does reflect the changes that we discussed last week, and then comments from State City Parish, the County Recorder, just requesting that Appendix D and Appendix F, which are both resolution and ordinance respectively, just have a return to box on the draft template that helps them as they coordinate returning the legal documents. And then, so those changes are made. I think I might go ahead and add the department name and address too in that box. Say, please reference department name and address, so that they have more sense in home use than that. And then, so that's on page 20 and 22, if you're looking where it is. And then Keith Morgan Friday did email me with the question of whether you need to have a process to enact ordinances quickly in emergencies. Keith is our emergency management coordinator. Mm-hmm. So it actually is a recommendation that you see as part of the FUCOG annual review in early December. So we may come back and revisit this at a later time, too.
But this gives us a mechanism to revisit all of that. Okay?
But that, those are the only comments I received.
Okay. You guys acted on this last week. You've heard there are some changes that you suggested and a few that were else that were suggested. Your thoughts on where we are after 7-day review?
I
was just going to say I'm comfortable with the fact that I'm glad to see people. We have many 7-day reviews. We get nothing, and it's nice to see multiple departments trying to tweak it in a direction that would serve the county better. And I think that I thank Stacy. I thank you. I think that it made a document that was supportable prior better.
I agree with that, and once again, thank you, Leanne, for putting it together, and I learned a lot, and it's clear that people thought about this, and clear that everyone who contributed, Leanne, pulling together, she thought about it, and it's kind of the beginning down into what some people would consider the real detail, but that's good, right? So thank you.
Absolutely. All right, so I need a motion then.
I was so moved that we approve this as presented with the changes recommended as laid out by Leanne.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Thank you guys for digging in and handle this. I'll echo Marty. Thank you to everybody who weighed in, and thank you especially to Leanne for her work in this. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Ordinance development and review guidelines passes after 7-day review and, in fact, is now enacted. Now on to discussion and consideration of Resolution 1859 to fix the term of employment and compensation for the Story County Assistant County Engineer pursuant to Iowa Code Section 309.17 and 18. Alyssa Wignall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We do have an item on here, another resolution today to set the term and compensation for our assistant county attorney, or county engineer, I'm sorry. I will close 309.17 says the board shall, board of supervisors shall employ one or more licensed civil engineers who shall be known as county engineers. The board shall fix their term of employment, which shall not exceed 3 years, but the tenure of office may be terminated at any time. And then 309.18 is about the compensation. It just says the board shall fix the compensation of the engineers. So this is a new process that I am recommending to the board for our assistant county engineer. We're just using the two code sections. We do this for the county engineer. And the salary recommendation in there, I did a market analysis for that position.
So when you look, you say you did a market analysis, where did you look?
Sure, I used the data from, we just did a salary survey. So I used the data from that, and then I also got the assistant county engineer salary. Either Darren or Lori over there can get it from the Service Bureau and get pretty updated information for me so I can do that analysis. Okay. So we look at salary of comparable counties. We look at years of service. We're fortunate enough that our assistant county engineer is a licensed professional engineer. So that's something we also take into consideration when looking at this.
Yeah, so we're really fortunate with the assistant county engineer we have, but I view this as more about the position.
Absolutely.
And what's appropriate for the position. And comparing it to like positions.
Correct.
Around, you feel really, really confident that that's what you're presenting to us here.
Absolutely.
after talking to Alyssa, I know some people look at this and like, you're just doing it for one person. No, we're not. This is not a swag. There's a lot of research went into this. This reflects, as Rick just said, the office, not gentlemen presently in it, for the fact that every position that we have in the county will always be held by somebody else. Mm-hmm. And this reflects the market as we find it today and on a going forward basis, nothing else.
And I'll say this, this is not different than what we've done in some other areas, other positions, when we've seen that we weren't quite where we needed to be comparably.
Right. And this will put in a process that we can move forward and use. You know, I know this sets the term for 3 years, so every 3 years we're getting, I think we set the term for the county engineer, we're getting up to that third year, there'll be a resolution within the next year coming through.
Right, and that had not been set for the county engineer for ever before, Darren, before we finally set that. That was the first time we had done it, right?
Well, Bob's very always
had it. He had a contract.
I was suggesting with you. Sorry about that.
Yep.
Anything you want to add on this resolution, Darren, before the board takes action? And come up if you do. Nope? Okay.
I don't have anything else to say other than, once again, I learned something. I suspect 309.17 and 18 are not the most read and well-known in Iowa code.
That's probably true.
I would make a motion that we approve Resolution 1859, fixing the term of employment and compensation for the Story County Assistant Engineer, pursuant to the Iowa Code 309.17 and 18.
Second. Motion and a second. Just so that we're completely clear, action on 1859 also creates action on the personnel action form. So it'll be two documents that are executed by this one vote. Okay? Everybody clear?
Fine.
Anything further?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. No agency reports today. No departmental reports. No other reports. So that gets us to public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public, Paula, to comment on items not on this agenda. Anybody wishing to do so can come right on up to the microphone. And seeing no one doing so, we'll move on to liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements of supervisors. I have no idea whose turn it is, so I'm going to start with Loris.
Okay. Welcome back, Paula. Okay. I'm going to report on a couple of meetings that were held last week and kind of what's coming up. So there was a workforce transportation in the Ames to Des Moines corridor meeting that the chamber held last week, and Deb Schildroth and I attended that. To listen, it ended up I was concerned sitting on the board of HRDA and also concerned as a Story County supervisor to make sure that we look at public partnerships within the county. But this is about moving people for workforce from Des Moines to Ames and then getting them home every day. DART was at the table, which is the Des Moines Area Rapid Transit, Polk County. They also run the van share and ride share programs in 17 counties. CyRed was at the table. We had three employers at the table, and then a couple of representatives from the chamber. It's going to be a heavy lift, to use terms I've heard at this board table before, and a big part of that reason is that the workforce that they want to move, one group of employers wants to move, works very flexible schedules. They're software engineers, they are the people who are working at the research park, and that's part of the business model. Mary Greeley was supposed to have a representative at the table, was not there, but then you're talking about highly skilled, educated shift workers, but they're still working shifts. And then Hawk was there at the table because they're interested in the skilled workforce that would be working lines and machinery and doing the production. I am, in fact, going with Brenda Dreyer on Thursday morning. We're meeting with Hawk again because we think that is more of a boon to Marshalltown route, and already heard of, has part of that in place. But they need to get the employers back. There needs to be some more research. As Sherry Kyrus from SkyRide pointed out, this is the third round for her of these types of meetings, and it's never moved forward because there's been an inability to match the needs that the employers are saying with
what money would be available even at this point of what the employers were kicking, because we're by the time kind of some of the requirements were listed, they want Wi-Fi on the vans or buses, which are doable, but then they want to be able to work. The employers want to work. Well, then you're talking about, Sherry said, you're really talking about coaches, motor coaches, not a bus like we think about a bus, and that has to do with the shock suspension and the ease of travel or whatever. Then you have the flexible schedules. So it was good that we attended. Afterwards, I had mentioned to Deb, I don't think I need to go to any of these meetings for a while, but if you want to attend them, you know, to keep a finger on the pulse, you know, for that. I don't see where we've got an active role right now, but then we'd still be able to know coming back. Meanwhile, I'm going to focus on getting people around the county in between Boone and possibly hook up with Marshalltown Transportation. So then on Friday, Brenda Dreyer and Leanne and I met and just talked a little bit about pulling together a draft for a pilot program about housing, if we did a pilot program to support housing in the county. And just to let you know about a couple things that were decided, and then it's back in Brenda and Leanne's category to create a draft to run by, and then we'll bring to you, I think Leanne was thinking December 5th. Okay. To bring into it. It would not be related to TIF, okay? We'd be looking, because we're looking at maybe just 10 houses or something like that, and ask around $150,000 just as a real pilot, and it would be specifically, just as it seems to be that the draft will come here, would be for creation of housing units. And possibly hoping that we would be able to maybe redo some downtown housing, second floor apartments, maybe looking at some other starts of small single family houses. There'd be a cap on how many they could apply for. So I think we had a good meeting, check with them to find out if they even had a good meeting also. But so we're at least looking at a pilot coming forward that would seem to meet at least measure for us what demand might be out there. And then, Rick, you weren't here, but last week I did kind of report that it looks like I will be going before the city council on November 14th about the housing needs. And there's a couple different ways we could do this. The city staff is already doing some of this in-house that we'll need. So it may be a merger type thing. But what's nice is that between maybe this pilot program and the housing needs survey that would occur is that at the end, with termination of one collection of the data of the other, we'd have a much better idea whether this is something Story County might be getting into long term or not. I mean, so that's just where we are. It's all coming here. Okay.
Well, so it all sounds great. Let's see. Question on the transportation portion of your report. So as I understand that meeting, that was really a staff level meeting that you attended to observe. You were the only elected official who was
correct, and I requested to be there, and I explained to them right up front that I was interested because sitting on her board and what I've found in transportation so far, the only way we're going to be able to expand public transportation to serve outside of a special needs population is to have public-private partnerships. So I was there kind of to listen to how do you want to spend that money and where might it pull from something
sure.
I might want to plan. So yes,
and all I wanted to underscore is that is a conversation that is occurring at staff level
correct.
For all entities
correct.
And has not bubbled up to elected official kind
correct.
Of conversation.
Correct, yes.
Super, and thank you for your work in the other areas. Excited to see what kind of draft proposal comes forward on the housing. Appreciate your work there. Marty.
Sure.
Dealing with the DuPont closure fallout in regards to workforce and sundry other issues. Improving the process here internally for the hiring of a new facilities management with Cal's retirement. We'll be doing those interviews here this week with HR. And we got, like Lawrence, to go do some city visits to have them tell us their stories, go to their meetings, and hear their expectations and wished for outcomes. I got a rec center meeting group here coming up again. They collectively will be moving action on both the school board and the city council. Here next Monday, so this project will be going live and with the hope for full completion of it in summer fall of 2019. Yeah, United Way wrap up here. We've only got a meeting right after this, which is nice. We're not running long. I don't have to run into a meeting while it's in progress. We got our quadrant meetings.
Yep.
Modestly attended as they are, we still have them. I think
good meetings last week?
I would say we share a lot of information to very few of our citizens, and I don't know the whys, and I'm not going to get cut off in the attendance. And we just offer ourselves up, and here's where we do it, and they're noticed, and if they choose to partake, they partake. I suspect there's not a lot of, I don't know what to say, Lawrence. You might speak to it more than I. I just don't think that there's that much groundswell to hear our story. And the thing is, when we're going to the trouble, we go to them in their communities. We put our story in the paper. We are doing the website refresh and everything. The paper is very good. I give the Ames Tribune credit for they carry what we do on behalf of the county and this business. I don't know, I'm not going to be, I'll be more modest and say, well, if we're doing such a good job, nobody notices, but I think we're probably collectively doing a pretty good job, and I don't think people are more concerned about the issues in their lives than necessarily how we do the nuts and bolts of housekeeping of Story County government.
Yeah, well, and you got two more this week, and sadly I'll miss both of them again this week.
I'm going to leave with the last rejoinder. Go vote today.
Yeah, got to go vote. I was just going to add a personal point, one week ago at about this moment, I was getting to the hospital really to say goodbye to my father. And he rallied.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. He rallied. And now I'm headed back. It's Birmingham, Alabama. I'm headed back again tomorrow to hopefully get him out of the hospital because he is a strong son of a gun and is big time. So appreciate the fact that I'm in a position with partners and with our outstanding county staff that I could find out about this at 6 o'clock on Monday night and be on a plane at 6 o'clock Tuesday morning and frankly whether this is appropriate or not think about Story County for the last week I just want to thank you guys and thank you guys for the rest of this week when I'm gone again. So really, really appreciative and really excited to get my dad home. And with that, if there's nothing further, underscore, get out and vote. If you haven't, go vote. It matters. I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned. Thank you. Oh.